Well, Happy New Year. The rest of you don't think it's a Happy New Year, right? Are you guys ready for a new year? Are we ready for 2021? Hopefully everybody out there in the online world is amening a good new year, and we're excited to see what God has in store for us. I'm excited about this year. I'm always excited about a new year. But I'm excited to see what God does here at Fairfax. And in each one of us as brothers and sisters in Christ, a part of his family. I know that over the coming weeks and months, we have lots of things to share, exciting stuff. One of the things I want to get us kind of excited about, we'll have more to come in the coming weeks, but we're looking at possible new partnerships with our vision forward, with some new people possibly. In terms of our how we'll be doing childcare, who we'll be working with, and as we've been working with this and kind of just seeing where God is leading it, man, it's getting exciting. I mean, there were some meetings I set in, I just got pumped up, and I'm so ready. I want to tell y'all all about it, but we got to get through a few more meetings before we share everything and where God is leading us. But I would tell you, God's got some things in store for us. Amen. There are some things ahead. And we don't even know what they look like right now, but we know that God is in control, and he's got some work for us to do. It's really up to us if we're going to choose to do and be a part of that work, okay? Today is that first Sunday of the year, so it's usually this first Sunday and the Sundays that follow that we really talk about what we're planning on, really focusing on throughout the year, how we're going to work together as a family, and hopefully that we're all on the same page as we move forward. So, a little bit of talk about mission, vision, things like that to get us ready for 2021. Our mission's simple. We should be able to, we probably do this saying in our sleep, right? Our mission's simple here at Fairfax, right? It's to boldly show Jesus, to love God, and to love others because God first loved us. That's a statement that just comes straight from Scripture. We've got things where it's spoken of, the greatest commandments, the greatest of all things, the Great Commission is all summed up in that. The mission guides us in all that we do. Everything we do, it really highlights those things. Our mission, that one I just spoke, dictates our ministry's direction. Just like it did for all those that we read of in Scripture. Even Adam and Eve had a mission, right? They were to go out and be to the image of God in the world. Moses had a mission. His was to take people, the people of Israel, out of bondage. Joshua had a mission. He was to lead the people into the promised land. David had a mission. He was to shepherd the people of Israel. Nehemiah had a mission. He was to build a wall. And others throughout all of Scripture. Jesus himself even said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. I came to seek and save the lost. That is my mission. Mission defines ministry function. What matters most? The mission is an expression of our strategic intent to what God wants us to do. It summarizes and provides the church with our basic biblical task, and it defines the results that we want to seek and obtain through our ministry. Our mission focuses our ministry's future. Y'all remember what Paul said to the Philippians. He said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We could spend a lot of time, couldn't we, thinking back on 2020. Are y'all just fed up with talking about 2020? I am done with it. I'm done with all the people going, did y'all watch the New Year's Eve? The ball drop. Did y'all watch it? It was depressing. The whole thing. It was from seeing the people in the audience, the things they talked about. I mean, the very first video right after the ball dropped was about the people that passed away, the pandemic. And I was going, that's not good. I want to be like Paul and forget what was behind and strain toward what is ahead, because that's where God is. The past does not dictate our future. It only informs it. So that's our mission, to boldly show Jesus, to love God, to love others, because God first loved us. Our vision is wraps all that up and details it out, okay? It tells us, it kind of gives us a picture for it. A lot of times we get confused with what a mission and a vision is, right? Well, the mission statement of the church is supposed to be what we're doing, while the vision is a snapshot or a picture of that, okay, of what that mission is. Think of it this way. The vision is like you're going to take a vacation, okay? And you're going to take a vacation to some scenic, beautiful spot. The mission is simply where you're going, right? But the vision is that brochure that the travel company gives you that has all the pictures and all the places that you'll visit and all the things that you'll get to do. That's the vision. And so this morning, I want us to remember what our vision is. We know what our mission is. But let's remember our vision just for a moment, because remember this. The proverb says this: when there is no vision, the people live unrestrained. Or you could even translate it this way: the people run wild. But one who keeps the law or lives by instruction is happy. In other words, the idea is that with vision, we know what we're doing, and we have a picture of it in our mind, and we desire it. We're motivated by it. We want to do it. A vision is clear. It's a challenging picture of the future of our ministry, as we believe that it can and must be. Our vision instructs us in why we want to go into that direction and live out that vision. So if our mission is to boldly show Jesus, to love God, to love others, because God first loved us, what is our vision? Our vision is simply stated this. You've heard us say this through the years, and if you're new or just joining us online, you may hear this for the first time, but it's to be God's heart to this community. Well, I've heard for years and years, man, what does that even mean? Well, let's talk about that, because that's not the whole vision. That's just a small snippet of the vision. We like to use that, but that's not the entire vision. I'm going to share that with us this morning as in a way of reminder. The whole vision is this. We understand that to be God's heart to this community, we must remain connected to God and to live beyond our abilities, fears, and imaginations. We recognize that with God's power flowing through us, we commit to certain things, these five things: to deepen biblical understanding that produces greater spiritual maturity. We are people of the Word. We want to know that the Word is not just words on a page, but being lived through us. So we want to be in the Word so that the Word comes flowing out of us. So not only are we in the Word, but the Word is in us. We want to honor God as the center of our worship and invite others into His presence. We want, as a part of our vision, what we do not only in this room, but outside this room is important in the way we honor God regularly. We want to make the most of our unique location for local and far-reaching spiritual impact. We don't see that we just are here in this place, in this building, for this particular group of people, but there's so much that God has in store for us as a people here in the DC area and beyond. We want to provide a home for people seeking unconditional love, peace, belonging, and rest. This is a home. Amen? I mean, for those of us that have been here for a long time, and those that maybe have been here just for a short time, you find out very quickly, it's one of the number one things that we hear from people that come and place membership, is this is a family. It's a messed up family, right? So if you're watching online, you've never been, we're not a perfect family, but it's family. We fight through things, we argue through things, we work through things, and we stay on mission. We want to provide a place where people come and feel like they're loved and know they're loved. And then finally, we have a commitment to reach out to diverse communities with the good news of Jesus Christ. Our goal is to go out. This is just a base camp. It's not a fortress. So that's our vision, and it's a big vision of that mission that we just stated. There's a lot of things that we do, and that based on our mission and our vision, we design everything we do here, from ministries to staffing to what we do with our physical space. All of it's based on our mission and vision. But something is underlying there that we often don't talk about, but we do talk about it. We don't mention it in particular, and that's our values. You see, our values, what we value most, actually is what drives us. It's that inner motivation. If we value these things highly, all the mission and vision will be carried out. Why? Because it's very, very important to us. And our vision is truly lived out through what we value and what we love most. Values are the constant, passionate, and biblical core beliefs that go deep and truly empower and guide our ministry. So here's the values that we've expressed. We're very passionate about these. We are unyielding about these values. One is connecting with God. By honoring Jesus Christ as the head of his church, we are yielding to the Bible as the inspired word of God and faithfully worshiping God. We want to honor God, yield to his word, and faithfully worship him. The next one is connecting with Christians by welcoming each other into a home for people who are seeking that unconditional love, peace, belonging, and rest that I just mentioned. And then finally, connecting with others by sharing Christ's truth as a welcome into authentic Christian community. These values, and you, although we may not express them in this way all the time, they're interwoven in all that we do. They are deep-seated beliefs that guide our mission and vision. And that's what we want to remind ourselves of and focus on throughout 2021. So our goal and vision for 2021 is to live out our values, to connect. To connect. And throw that graphic up there for me. You'll see it this will be not just for 21, but beyond. We are wanting to be able to live into this sort of vision and mission. In a world where we have connection overload, it's surprisingly easy to get disconnected, isn't it? How many of y'all in 2020 felt disconnected? All right, lots of hands. Now, we might say, no, we're connected. I Zoomed all the time. I can't even tell you how many Zoom meetings I went through. Zooms or Microsoft Team or whatever you use through all that time, Skype or whatever. We were connecting with people, but does it feel the same? Is it the same? As a matter of fact, the interesting thing is, as much as we were connected with people in 2021, virtually, through social media and those, the other formats, we found most people around the world found themselves feeling disconnected. Depression rates, loneliness, suicide increased in 2020. Yet we were talking to one another. We were having these conversations online and talking to one another through social media. All the while we're connected, we feel disconnected. We desperately need connection, amen? We need to be connected. It's very easy in a connected world to get disconnected. We find ourselves disconnected with God, with other Christians, and with others in the world. So our problem, if you think about why do you even create a vision or mission, it's because you recognize that there's a problem and the problem needs a solution. Well, the problem is this: disconnect. We find ourselves disconnect with God. Maybe it's because we think of God poorly. And what I mean like this, it doesn't mean that you don't love God. It just means that I think of God only in terms of a savior. I need God to save me so I can go to heaven. Maybe so that when that's all I see him for, then he really doesn't do much else for me. I do that for myself. Maybe I'm disconnected with God through worship. We're all socially distanced. You're all socially distanced out there on the camera. We feel disconnected in worship. It doesn't feel the same. It's just not the same. Maybe I don't feel connected with God because just something doesn't feel right inside. Maybe I feel disconnected with God through my prayer life. Maybe my prayers seem cold or non-existent. Maybe I just feel disconnected with God from even just a sense of daily presence of Him in my life. I feel apathetic, indifferent. Maybe I'm complacent. Maybe I have zero intention or motivation. I'm disconnected with God. Or maybe I'm also disconnected with Christians. Maybe, and those go hand in hand. Maybe I'm feeling disconnected from a Fairfax family. You might be out there virtually on online worship right now, and you have not been here since February or March and feel disconnected from the family. You don't feel, even if you're here in the crowd, you don't feel a part of the family. There's loneliness even in a crowd. Maybe I'm not connected to a ministry of some sort. Maybe the totality of my Christian faith rests in me sitting in a chair, and I don't do much beyond that. Maybe I'm not connected to a growth group, which are great and vital ways for us to connect with the family, and I just have never gotten into one. Maybe I'm disconnected with other Christians because of my ideology or my doctrine. And because of that, I feel separated from not just this Christian family, but other Christian families. Then I feel disconnected with others. I feel isolated from the world. Maybe it's from fear of influence and differences. I don't want them to taint my faith. And there's this they versus us sort of mentality. Maybe I have a lack of understanding. I've not been able to walk in their shoes. And I don't know necessarily how they think or what makes them tick. And so I can separate myself from them. Maybe it's I've justified a distance with people in the world based on my theology. The problem is that we don't know how to connect. Maybe you're one of those individuals that's really just struggling with connecting with people in general. I struggle with it at church, and I definitely struggle with it out in the world. So I just don't do it. And then maybe sometimes we just are worrying more about what we're against than what we're for. And that disconnects us from the rest of humanity. All those feelings, I don't know which one may have hit you as I was going through those, but you probably connected with one of those disconnects in some way. So when there's a problem of disconnect, obviously the solution is to connect. But to connect with purpose, not with superficiality. So what do I want to do? How do I want to connect with God? Well, I want to know that and have an awareness that God is God and I am not. And that God is not just simply a savior to me, He is everything to me. Maybe I need to stop seeing worship. In order to connect with God through worship, I need to stop seeing worship as simply something I do in this room or online. But worship is a way of life. I'm worshiping God how often? 24/7, not 1 hour every week. That my way of living is a living sacrifice. That worship is about God. It's not about me and my preferences. How does it connect? How does my worship connect with the many rather than just the few? Maybe I need to connect with God and go deeper in my prayer life, recognizing that prayer is a regular rhythm of life. As much as breathing is, so is prayer. And then just becoming more aware of God's presence regularly. We kind of compartmentalize God in our lives and think He's only with us in moments. Guys, He's with us all the time. He walks with us. Sometimes before, sometimes beside, and many times from behind. And He's there with us. Maybe we need to find ways to connect not only with God, but also with Christians. Connecting with your local church family. not just a felt presence, but connecting with them in reality, to go from beyond that feeling of being welcome to feeling of being a part, that I'm ultimately tied to this body, good or bad, that we're together and we're a family, that I'm connecting in some way to a ministry of God's, whatever it looks like, whether it's a quote-unquote formal ministry of the church or a ministry that you've started and you've asked people to join you in, but that I'm serving. Ministry is that, in definition, is service. That I'm getting connected with a growth group. Man, in some way, shape, or form, all of us, our desires for 100% of our family members to be connected in a growth group. Why? Because sadly, when you're in a big group like this, you can't fully connect, but you can connect fully with a smaller group of people. And boy, you're going to hear a lot about that, because we're not just a church that has growth groups. We are a growth group church. We are made up of growth groups, and we want you to connect in one. And then maybe I need to work on connecting with my other brothers and sisters in Christ in way of not looking for uniformity, but looking for unity, as defined by Scripture, not but defined by Phil or you. A shift in intent and attitude toward my other brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that I might disagree with them on some things theologically. Can you still love someone even when you disagree? Boy, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. And then finding new ways to connect with others. Connection with a community for the purpose of loving others for Christ. Understanding differences from other people's perspective, walking in their shoes, not just making assumptions about them. I recently took a class where I was in the class with multiple other students, and the very first day of class, I wondered, what am I doing? In that class, we started introducing each other, and it was the very first time I ever had to introduce myself and provide my personal pronoun. That was the first time I ever had to do that. What personal pronouns do you prefer? And as I started looking at everybody's name, I realized they were putting in parentheses their personal pronouns. And then as we went through and introduced ourselves in the class, I found myself in class with how did she term herself? She said, I'm a Jewish Catholic lesbian. That was one of the first. The other was transgender and went by those pronouns. And another, the list went on and on. And I found myself in that class going, I need to learn. I need to learn. And as the class went on, I learned. They taught me so much. Why? Because I didn't separate myself from them. Because after that first class, I didn't go, you know what? I can't do this. I need to separate myself. Instead, very uncomfortably in many circumstances, I listened and I was trying to get, what is their perspective? What can I learn from them? Can you do that? Can we do that? So much so that people that might identify themselves in those ways would feel comfortable walking in this door. We might disagree with them in certain aspects of life and from faithful thinking through Scripture. But can we love them? Yes or no? That takes a shift on our part first. We assume that the shift has to happen on their part first before we welcome them in. And that is wrong. The shift happens first. Because that's how we can truly love. And then we need to possibly deepen our empathy for fellow sinners. Amen? Not just looking at others and judging them for what they've done, but recognizing them as a fellow sinner who struggles just like we do. To enter others' space without compromising our biblical truth and our faith, but entering that space and destroying the gap. To know those that we would believe would be out on the margins better, to provide opportunities for connection, learning through example, discovering that it is not as hard as we may assume, and can engage in their world, in their thinking. And then to seek first the kingdom of God. Because we've got to remember, the fact of going out beyond these walls is not about just a task to do. It's about expanding a kingdom that is being built by God. And we are a part of that. Going back to our 2020 theme of advancing the kingdom, we're all kingdom builders. So we want to connect with God, Christians, and others. Reconnecting in a disconnected world. We want to help all of us as members of this family to fall deeply in love with not only God and not only each other, but also those outside our church walls. We want to help each family member connect and actively engage their faith, not a passive faith, but an active faith. As a matter of fact, we've been toying with the idea of wanting to help us map out our spiritual journey. And map being to motivate, activate, and participate. Because I guarantee you, our participation is first influenced by our motivation. It's one thing for us to sit in this room and all go, amen, amen. But if we are truly motivated, then that motivation then activates us. We begin to make plans and strategies and thoughts towards that, how to live out that motivation. And then as we've been activated and made those plans, we go participate. We want to go motivate, activate, participate all of our members in the mission, vision, values of Fairfax. Being a Christian, guys, is more about, it's more than just liking Jesus. Because a lot of people in the world like Jesus. It's more about knowing him. It's about becoming like him. Jesus didn't sit and talk about his faith only. He lived it. Everyone is on a journey of spiritual transformation, and it's unique to each person, but it requires all of us to take an initial or first step or next step in that faith. Whether it, for all of us, whether it's your first step in the journey or it's the next step in a long journey, we want us to start thinking about what are our next steps. What is our next step individually and as a family? As I was thinking about this and as we finish up this morning, I'm just going to ask you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Because as I was thinking about this whole thought of connect, Ephesians 4 speaks to it. And we're going to actually spill over just a bit into chapter 5, in the first few verses of chapter 5. I just want us to read and meditate on this morning as we finish up together. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Walking in a worthy manner. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, we all have been given God's grace in different ways, in unique ways. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Talking about Jesus. And he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, the work of service, for building. This is the purpose of it, guys. This is the purpose. For building up the body of Christ. Until, and we're going to do this until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, which plague us, you guys, all the time. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That means that all of us have to do our part. And when one is not, the body suffers. We all have to be that body part that is building up the body of Christ. Now, this is, I say to and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. Guys, can our hearts get hardened? Man, they can. When we have hard hearts, we are more like the world than we are like Christ. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to the practice of every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Christ, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to put on the new self. Why is the new self there? Why is it created? To be after the likeness of God, in which is true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Paul's saying, we're members of a bigger family than just what's in here at Fairfax Church of Christ or in your local church. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as it is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Did y'all hear that? Stop talking negatively about one another, about others. Let our mouths pour forth the speech of the Spirit, which is love, right? Because that graces those who hear it, even if they don't believe. Listen to this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Here's what we're supposed to do. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Can we do that, you guys? Can we commit to connect with God, with each other, and with those in the world, carrying out the mission to boldly show Jesus, to love God, to love others, because God first loved us? On this first day, Sunday of 2021, we want that vision to connect to be for, not only for this year, but for far beyond that. Our question is, will you join us? Can we connect?